It's our little language, okay? He's on the spot too. Anywho, he looked at me. Hey, buddy, I love you. I didn't even see him this morning, so this is good. Hi. Okay, so we like kids. That's what we're saying. But the nursery's open and available, and our children's stuff's open and available too. All right, many of you know me. My name's Jim, the assistant pastor here at the church. And I'm excited this morning. I'm also a little nervous. Every time I get up and preach, I get this nervousness and anxiety almost of, I hope the words that come out of my mouth, that they reflect what the Word of God is saying. And today, what I'll be preaching on, it's very challenging. It's very inviting, but it's also very challenging. And so on the front end of today's sermon, as we're going to look at in Romans, go along with me, and you might feel a little bit of anxiety, but hold on, because I feel that too, because this isn't just a message for you to hear, this is a message for all the church to hear. And so join me this morning as we do that. Just to bring you up to speed, if you're new or if you've been gone a lot this summer, we've been in a series called Who Are We? You see, where do we come from? What are we here for? And where are we going? And this series is vitally important because the idea is that if we know who we are, it kind of directs where we're going. And I think we're in the 13th or 14th week of this series. We've had a couple guest speakers, but this series has kind of led us through the whole story of how God has been working from the beginning of time. The first week, Pastor Jared started off with talking about creation. That's this panel. God creates, all right? The second panel, he talked about the fall. And then he went into these journeys, these stories that we're familiar with, but it all connects. The next story was the story of Noah and the Noahic covenant. And if you ever want to know what the name covenant or means, it simply means relationship. But we see, as Pastor Jared's been leading us through this series, how there are covenants that are connecting the story of God. And we talked about the Noahic covenant. Then we talked about the Abrahamic covenant. Then we talked about the Mosaic covenant. Then we talked about the Davidic covenant. I got to preach on that Father's Day, where we talked about God being our Father. And it was a special morning for me because it was also my first Father's Day. But we preached on the Davidic covenant. And then we preached on the New Covenant. And the New Covenant is this idea that from the line of David, one would come. And we know that person to be Jesus. And the New Covenant is represented by our third panel. And then Pastor Jared went to Psalm 110 and preached about how God was working. And then Pastor Jared preached on how Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Really, this idea, we have like the Ten Commandments. One of the commandments, let's say, is do not murder. Jesus didn't come to say, oh, those commandments don't matter anymore. He came to say, hey, don't murder, but don't just don't murder, but don't even think about murdering. That's how far Jesus takes, and he fulfills the commands. He doesn't abolish them. And then with this information, Jesus tells us to go to all the nations. Last week, Pastor Jared led us through a sermon where he talked about the nations starting to hear the gospel message that's going to all the nations. And today, I get the opportunity to preach on how going to all the nations includes us as followers. So hang in there with me. We're still in this series, and that's where we'll be at today. And I'm excited, like I said, also very nervous. All of my younger siblings, so my younger brother-in-law, my younger half-sister Emily, and my younger half-sister Haley, all decided that it would be a good idea to get married within 1.5 months of each other. Not only did they decide to get married all within 1.5 months of each other, one of them wanted me to stand up for them. The other one wanted me to officiate their wedding. And then the other one wanted me also to officiate their wedding. And right now for me, I don't know if you feel this, but I am in wedding season mode, all right? Just shake your head if you like. You feel the wedding season mode, or you know somebody who's getting married or whatnot. So I'm in wedding season mode because it's next week, and I'll be in Colorado officiating my sister Emily's wedding, and then 2 weeks from that in South Dakota officiating Haley's. So I'm in wedding season mode, and this isn't a sermon on, hey, you should get married because it's the biblical thing to do, though it is, but it's also not a sermon saying, hey, you shouldn't be single, because singleness could also be, is biblical. So I'm not promoting singleness or marriage through this. All I'm saying is that right now in my life, I'm participating in a lot of weddings, and I'm in wedding season mode. And the beautiful thing about this wedding season mode that I'm in is that my brother-in-law, Trevor, who got married a couple weekends ago in Arizona, who I stood up for, he made me buy a suit, and which was a very good thing because I didn't own a suit. Though you would think somebody who's performed probably about 10 different weddings that I would own a suit, but I didn't own a suit, and Trevor made me buy a suit, and it was the best thing for me because now I have a suit to wear for my sister Emily's wedding as I'm standing up for her, and I have a suit to wear for Haley's wedding. So it all works out, you know, this wedding season mode. Now, I was going to wear it this morning, but then I was like, you know, I didn't want to, you know, throw you guys off with the haircut and the suit. So, like, who is that foreign person? So, like I said, I'm in wedding season mode. And I mentioned that, you know, life is a little busy right now, and that is it's a very good thing. This summer got some time to rest a little bit. But I mentioned the wedding season mode because when you go to weddings, I know there's a lot of families in here who they're part of weddings and whatnot, but when you go to weddings, there is something that is happening between two people. You know, they're coming together, and they are making commitments and vows to each other that hopefully will last their entire life. They're making commitments and vows to each other, and what is happening is that when they come together, they include their community. So it's not just about them, though oftentimes the wedding is shaped around what they want, but they're including the people that are closest to them to say, hey, we are coming together and we are making, like, this is a commitment. And in that, there is a very unique thing that happens. It's almost like I am set apart for the other. One person is set apart for the other is set apart for the other. And there's this idea of being set apart. Like when Chantel and I got married, there was something like, okay, I want to marry you, we're getting married, you are my wife, I am her husband. And it would be messed up if I'm like, yeah, you're my wife, but I've got some other, you know, I go on other dates with people. But when with marriage, a biblical understanding is that you are set apart for the other. And so in this wedding season mode that I'm in, the idea of being set apart is very fresh on my mind. And when it comes to being set apart, especially with wedding stuff and marriages that happen, this idea of setting apart is so fascinating because, yes, there is a relationship. You know, like Chantel and I, we dated for a long time before we got married. There was a relationship aspect. Then we got married. We set apart. But with that relationship, when we got married, how we lived was different. We had responsibilities that came with being married. How we lived changed and shifted a little bit. And so I want us to all be thinking of that as I'll share a little bit of how I think what we're going to look at today kind of connects to the metaphor of a marriage, because the church has often been referred to as the bride of Christ. The church has often been referred to as the bride of Christ. So we have Christ, and then we have Christ's bride, the church. And as we think about how marriage sets apart people for one another, this morning I want us to be thinking how we, the church, are set apart for Christ. And in this setting apart, it is initiated by a relationship. We've seen that through our Who We Are series, how God is always initiating relationship. But he's not just initiating relationship, he's calling us to live differently, the responsibilities that come with that relationship. And so we're going to be looking at that, how we, those who follow Jesus, we who follow Jesus are called to be the bride of Christ, and we are set apart. So if you would, with me, open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1 today. So if you got a hard Bible, open it up. If you got your Bible on your smartphone, go ahead and pop open your smartphone. Open it up on the Bible app. We'll be in Romans chapter 1. All right, so bring it open. We're going to be in verses 1 through 7. So go ahead and make sure you're following along with us. It will also be up on the screen as well. But before I read this, I want to give us a little context to our passage today. This is a book that is a letter. It is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, one of the early followers of Jesus. And he's writing it to the Church of Rome, henceforth the name Romans. That's, you know, so it's a book written to the Romans. And not only is it written to the Romans, but Paul is writing this book to the Romans, and they have a unique situation that's going on. First of all, at the time that he's writing it, the church in Rome is experiencing a lot of division. And one of the reasons they're experiencing a lot of division is because the church in Rome consisted of a lot of Jewish converts to Christianity, so Christian Jews, but also a lot of non-Christian Jews who converted to Christianity, hence Gentile Christians. And these two kinds of Christians come together and are worshiping together amidst their ethnic differences and their backgrounds. And then what happens is Emperor Claudius expels all Jews out of Rome, and any of the ethnic Christian Jews were also expelled. For about 5 years, they're expelled. And then the Gentile Christians who remained in Rome, they're sitting around, they start shaping their worship service, what they do, what they like, similar to their Gentile practices. They still hold to the gospel message. But then after about 5 years, Emperor Claudius invites all the Jews, both Jews and Christian Jews, back to Rome. And the Christian Jews find themselves in a church worshiping God in a very unfamiliar setting. And this is what is causing the division in this church setting. And so that is the context for what we'll be looking at today, because Paul is writing this whole book of Romans, which I challenge every single person to go read later this week, or watch the YouTube video on Bible Project, type in Romans, get an 8-minute overview there of this book. Paul is writing this whole book, because he wants the Church of Rome to be united. And he wants them to be united because he wants Rome to be the model example of unity and of sharing the gospel message, so that when he goes and other Christians go to share the gospel message, that they would be an example of how to do it. So it's almost like the Church of Rome, Paul is writing to because he wants to use their example to sharing the gospel message to the rest of the world. So that gives you a little bit behind the scenes of this passage. So we'll be reading in Romans 1. Follow along with me. We'll have it up on the screen as well. And as I read it out loud, you know, be asking God, what are you saying to me through this passage? Here we go. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son who was descended from David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's word to us, and this is what we're going to be exploring today. If you would, pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we look at this introductory portion of Romans, and Paul's letter to the Roman church, Lord, help us see how this is so vitally important to us today. Lord, that you would speak to us, that you'd use my words to challenge, but also that we would hear your voice this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to do this again. All right, maybe you missed it. Bring it back up on screen. But I also want you to notice that this is like one long run-on sentence. The period is at the end of 8 verses, so I'm going to try to read this, because I feel like Paul, you know, he probably started his letter, this is what I feel like, he probably started it with verse 7, where he's like, grace to you from and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he's like, no, I want to add some more, and then he started adding stuff, and then I have this thing that he's just like, he's just filling this introductory passage with so much stuff. But here we go. I'm going to try to do it in one breath because I feel like that's how it should be read. But as you hear it, there's some meaty or headiness to this because that's what we're going to be looking at. All right, here we go. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son who was descended from David according to the flesh. Okay, so it's a long run-on sentence. And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one very long sentence, but there's a lot here in this sentence. And I will always challenge you, every time you hear me preach, all the times you hear Pastor Jared preach, challenge you, this is my challenge, if you haven't read the entire Bible, do it. I challenge you to do it. Step up and do it. There's a lot of Bible reading plans on Bible.com, or you can grab your Bible at home and read it. If you've already read it once, read it again. If you've read it twice, read it 100 times, because we believe that this is God's inspired word to us, and I'm just going to always put that challenge out to you, because the more we read and engage the text, both here on Sunday mornings and outside of Sunday mornings, the more we are challenged by the words from the text. So, please be reading. All right, so we're going to look at a couple of Greek words in this passage. If you would, go to verse 1 with me, all right, and it says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And so we're going to look at two words here. We're going to look at apostle, we're also going to look at set apart. And the word apostle here in the Greek is apostello, all right, everybody, say apostello with me, 1, 2, 3. Apostello, all right? And this word, really, if you're wondering, like, what does the word apostle mean? I see it throughout Scripture. What does it mean? And the verb form of this word means to send or send away. That's what the root of this word means. And then the way Paul uses it here is a noun, apostellos. And here, it means messenger. So he's saying, I am a messenger, and I'm sent on a mission. Not only am I sent on a mission, but I'm a representative. So he's doing his introductory paragraph for the book of Romans, and he's saying, I'm a representative on a mission to tell you something. All right? So that's what the word apostle means. All right? If you go a little further and you see that word set apart, what the word set apart means is aphorizo. All right? Try it with me. Aphorizo. All right, let's try that again. Aphorizo. All right, all right. And this word, we see it as set apart, but it's so much more when we look at what the original Greek word means. And it means to mark off by boundaries. It means to set apart, like we have right there. And it also means to separate for a purpose. And so here, in the very first verse of this passage, we have Paul who says, I am a messenger of Jesus, I'm a representative of Jesus, I'm an apostle, and I am set apart for the gospel message. I'm set apart for the gospel of God, and this setting apart, think of it like that marriage that I was talking about. When you get married, there are boundaries to marriage. Here, when you're set apart by Jesus, by following Jesus, there are boundaries to what you can and can't do. All right? There are things that you do because it comes with the relationship, but there's also things that you don't do because it comes with the relationship. All right? So here we have that word, aphorizo, which means set apart. And as we will explore a little more into this passage, this setting apart is not just for the Apostle Paul, and it's not just for the Church of Rome. It is for all followers of Jesus who belong to God. They are set apart. Let's also look here. We have another word, gospel. All right, you see there in verse 1, we have the word gospel. And this word in the Greek is euangelion. All right, everybody say euangelion with me. 1, 2, 3. All right, one more time. Euangelion, 1, 2, 3. And euangelion is the Greek word for gospel. And this word means good news. Euangelion is the good news of God. And one of my favorite passages in Scripture, and it comes from Isaiah 52. But then it's also referenced later in this book of Romans, in chapter 10. And it says this in Romans 10, 15. And you'll know why this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. But 10, 15, it says this, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, of those who preach euangelion. So you'll see if you read through the book of Romans how this whole book is pointing and shaping the gospel message and what it means to be a people who is sent. All right, so we looked at those three Greek words. Let's look in verse 5. All right, so it says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. And here we see that those who belong to Jesus, what do they receive? They receive grace, and they receive apostleship, just like the Apostle Paul. And this isn't just for the Roman church. This is for all those who belong to Jesus. And here, the Greek word for grace is charis. All right, everybody say charis with me. Yeah, this Greek word, charis, means grace or kindness. And a lot of times people might have this misconception that the creation was good and it happened, and then the fall happened and it caught God off guard. Like, God was like, oh my goodness, I didn't know the fall was going to happen, so that's why I sent my son Jesus to bring grace to the world to save humanity. That is a misconception of how we engage and read the biblical text. We believe that God knew beforehand, before the beginning of creation, that the fall was going to happen. And in the beginning of creation, before that, God knew that. And God knew and was orchestrating a plan of restoration before the fall ever happened. And here, with this word kadosh, this grace, sometimes we can think, well, we come to the New Testament and it's all grace. But nestled in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, verse 15, there is what theologians will say is called the proto-evangelion. The first moment of God's grace to humanity where they ate the fruit. And what were they supposed to, what was supposed to happen? They were supposed to be killed, but God doesn't kill them. And in verse 15, we see that one day, all the way in Genesis, that one day, that one would come and destroy the effects of the fall. And that, as we know, is Jesus' death on the cross for our sins and for humanity. So here in verse 5 of Romans, we have kadosh, we have grace. And we receive grace and apostleship because we belong to God. So as we're looking at this introductory paragraph in the book of Romans, we see this, that through the gospel message, the good news of Jesus, that we are set apart. We are set apart. It's, you know, through the gospel, which is the relationship, but we're set apart, and that's the responsibility that comes with setting apart, because we have received grace. Not only have we received grace, but we have received apostleship. And this includes anyone and everyone who believes in Jesus and belongs to the people of God. This includes you. I always like to do this thing right now. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? All right? Maybe you're hearing it, maybe you don't. What is God saying to you? How are you going to respond? What is the responsibility that comes with you being set apart? A lot of times we think that responsibility is like me, like, strapping up my boots or me strapping up my sandals, you know, getting them ready. I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow God with all my heart. I'm going to be perfect. But any responsibility that comes from the relationship is only because God, through His grace, allows it to happen. So the relationship is by God's grace. The responsibility of what I perceive I'm able to do is only by God's grace. And so what is God saying to you? And how are you going to respond? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you belong to the body of Christ. You are set apart, but you're not only set apart, but you are set apart to be sent out. You're set apart to be sent out. We're set apart, the relationship. Sending out is the responsibility. And what this means is that you recognize that you are part of a bigger story. The story isn't just about you, though everything in our culture says it's only about you. But you are part of a bigger story. And where we're at in this story, the grand narrative, is between the third and fourth panel, where Jesus has come, things are becoming better, but one day He will return and wipe away all evil. But we're right there in the middle of the third and fourth panel, but we see ourselves in a bigger story. When anxieties arise, I was experiencing anxiety before I was preaching this morning. When anxieties arise, because we belong to Jesus, we can cast our cares upon Jesus when those do arise, because we have union with Christ. When we put our trust and faith and hope in Jesus, we have this thing that's called union with Christ, where we are both in Christ, but Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us, empowering us to live more like Jesus every single day. So we have this thing called union with Christ. But we also are challenged with that responsibility that we are all on mission. We're all on mission. So we're set apart, relationship, we're sent, responsibility, and all of this is because we belong to Christ. What if our church, Bismarck Community Church, the global church at large, what if our church, the bride of Christ, what if it was to become a training ground for sending? What if it was to be a training ground for sending? Rather than expecting people simply to just walk through our doors, we go to them because each of us has been set apart but sent. Each of us is on mission. So whether we go overseas, like Naomi Rust, who's going to South Africa, or we go to Ethiopia to our Jemmo Care Point with Addis Ababa, or we go to Freedom Fellowship that's down in McLaughlin, or we go over to Myrie. You know, we can go places, or whether we leave this space and we go to our neighbors next to us that we've lived by our entire life and we don't know their names or we haven't talked to them in 3 years because it's so awkward. It's those places where we go in the name of Jesus. It's to our workplaces. If you're a student, it's to our schools where it's the people that we spend time with, where relationships are formed. And if we're set apart for Jesus, we are missionaries in those spaces. So rather than expecting people to walk through our doors, we, all of us who follow Jesus, we go to them. We don't expect people simply just, hey, we got to get them into this space so that they can hear Pastor Jared and give their lives to Christ. No, they come to this space, yes, but hopefully they've heard and experienced Jesus in how you've related with them every single day up until that point. But we are called out. And here's the interesting thing. We heard from Kay and Young Lives this morning. We heard with Brent, with Jeanette Myrie. Life change happens amidst relationships. Relationships very rarely happen if you simply bring up somebody, a gospel tract, and say, here you go, trust in Jesus. Though it might work. But oftentimes somebody will already know that you're a follower of Jesus by how you've lived your life before you utter a word about Jesus. And amidst a trusting relationship, eventually you'll have an opportunity to talk about Jesus. But relationships, they take a lot of time. It's taken a year over at Myrie just to know all the students' names. It's taken a long time. Oh, it's taken 8 years over at Ethiopia with the Jemmo Partnership. It's taken me almost 2 years to know all my neighbors' names around my where I live. And it's uncomfortable sometimes because it's like, oh, I you know, it's weird sometimes. It's just like, hey, I'm Jim. Like, how's it going? All right. Nice lawn. You didn't, yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, you have those weird things. Like, you think you're getting anxious. But Pastor Jared isn't the one that's going to go talk to your neighbor. You are. And you're already talking to him by how you're living your life, and you don't even have to say any words, you know? Just some thoughts, ideas. And I'll challenge you with this. Which neighbor do you need to go meet? Which neighbor do you maybe need to, like, take a coffee to, or drop a basket off anonymously, or write a nice note? Or which coworker has been bothering you and you really need to forgive them? What friend at school has been a bully and maybe they don't have any friends? I don't know. But what is God saying to you? How are you going to respond? And this whole idea, nestled all in this first introductory paragraph of Romans, Paul is saying we are set apart because we belong to Jesus. We're set apart because we belong to Jesus. We are set apart because we belong to Jesus. Now you are being sent out because you belong to Jesus. Now you are being sent out because you belong to Jesus. Now you are being sent out because you belong to Jesus. We are set apart and we are being sent out. And we who belong to Christ, we are the bride. We have this thing called union with Christ. We are part of a bigger story. It's a story of grace that started before the beginning of time, and grace is weaving its way through the whole story. We are a people who are set apart to be sent out. When anxieties arise, may we be people who trust God in those moments. May we be a people who trust God when we just like, I don't know if I can do this. But that's the beauty of the gospel message, is we don't have to do it because Jesus has done it for us, and we live out of that rather trying to get that. Can I get an amen somewhere? And here at the church, you're going to be hearing over the next couple months, we're going to go into a season where it might produce some anxiety. There's some changes that are afoot here at the church, and Pastor Jared will be sending a letter out this week, so you'll be getting that in at home. You'll be seeing it on our social media platforms. But one of the big reasons behind the changes is because we want to be a people who know that they are set apart and are sent out. And the changes will reflect that. And one of the big reasons behind the changes is to help foster more spaces for relationships to happen. So, I'm not going to tell you what the changes are. I'll let you be like, I wonder what they are. But you'll be hearing about that in the coming. But amidst those changes, we ask, we challenge, we invite you to trust God in the process with the leadership who's making the changes, which is all of our consistory. Help trust God in the process. Help us trust God in the process of the changes. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for being a God who has been orchestrating our salvation from the beginning of time. You know us. You love us. You know what we need. I pray for each person in here this morning. You know what they need this morning. Lord, that you would speak to us more and more, not just here on Sunday mornings, but every day, every moment that you'd be speaking to us. Help us have ears to hear. Help us have ears to hear so we know where it is that you are calling and directing us in our lives. And amidst the anxieties and amidst the changes of life, amidst times where we're like, ah, that feels uncomfortable, Lord, that you would be the rock that we stand on, that you would be our life preserver that we can't even hold on to because you're holding on to us somehow. But Lord, that you would be with us and guide us every step of the way. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.